All right, welcome to Every Ventures Podcast. Today on the show, we have Ryan Furman from Long Range Only back on the show. Ryan was on Rockslide. He wrote an article. If you listen to the previous podcast he was on, he broke down the 300 PRC, the 300 Win Mag, and the 30 Nozzler. And lo and behold, you know, as it be, you kind of gain more knowledge, and then now he's decided he wants to build a 300 WSM, and we kind of want to go in and answer some questions, or answer some questions that we have, and I'm sure the listeners have, on why you would pick a 300 WSM, and what's the advantages and what's the disadvantages. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Well, glad to be back. It's always fun, you know, getting to chat and discuss the things that we enjoy. But I guess I'll just get started based on, you know, what you talked about in the introduction. So I think, you know, there's a lot of 30 caliber cartridges out there, a lot of the popular ones, the 300 Win Mag, 300 PRC, 30 Nozzler, a lot of guys like the Rum. And I've always been a big fan of the 300 Win Mag. Never really dove into the Rum just because of the magazine limitations, and I whether it really matters or not, I don't really like having the bullet stuffed way down into the neck, so I've kind of avoided it. But we've got quite a bit of experience with the 300 Win Mag, the 300 PRC, and the 30 Nozzler. Like you said, they're great cartridges. So I've always been interested, I guess since I got back into rifles and the accuracy portion of rifles and long range shooting, long range hunting, I've always been interested in the 300 WSM because the bench rest guys have been shooting that for years. When the wind blows, ballistically, it'll just outrun the smaller cartridges that typically do extremely well, like the 6BRs. You know, the 6.5 284 had a heyday for a while. And I'll come back to that in a second when we're discussing the whys. And the sevens, a few of the 7mm, the WSM, and the 7 short action ultramag still have some success, and like they've had their heyday as well. There were times when the sevens and the 6.5 284s were winning, but I think if you go look at the win. Maybe the top five in a lot of these 1,000-yard bench rest, 600-yard bench rest, and F-class type events, you'll see that the most winning cartridges currently are going to be a 6mm BR or an improved variant like the BRA, the Dasher, the BRX. There's several. I think the Dasher and the BRA are the ones that are currently extremely popular. But when the wind is blowing, the WSM seems to win a lot. So I've always looked, and a lot of guys think I'm nuts for doing it, but I've always looked at the bench rest guys to see what they're doing, because they're the guys that are actually innovating probably more than anyone. They're out there. There's hundreds of them trying different things every match just to see if they can get an edge. You know, there's always going to be guys that are doing what the other guys next to them are doing just because, you know, they see the success and they want to try to duplicate that. But the guys that are, trying new things, they're in bench rest. They're the ones that are making headway. They're making things more accurate. So, like I kind of mentioned, the 6.5 284 kind of had a time where it was doing well. It was winning some competitions, Bose. I don't really pay specifically attention to which sanctioned events they are, but I'm just going to generalize long range bench rest as F class and bench rest shooting. But the 7mm, the WSM, had some success as well. But as the guys try those cartridges in the bench rest world, they found out that it just can't hold the aggregates. So the average of, they say, 5 or even more 20-shot groups or 5-shot groups just wouldn't hold as tight of groups as things like the 6BRA, mm-hmm. the 6mm BR, and the 6Dasher. So those things kind of fell to the wayside, the WSM. Now, in the sevens, when you drop down case capacity to the SOM, they're still doing very well with that. The 6.5/284 was in that same boat. It just wouldn't hold the aggregates that the 6BR would. Then the entire time I've been paying attention, you've seen some guys having some success with 300 WSM, and they still are. We could sit here and talk and debate and discuss the whole efficiency argument for hours. I don't know. No matter what I do or don't know about physics, I really like to stick to the redneck rule. Whatever I see on paper is really, really hard to dispute. So,
right.
I've shot a lot of tiny groups with the 300 Win Mag. My first one was built with a benchmark barrel, I think it was. I mean, it shot several sub-quarter minute groups. It shot some ridiculous groups out at 400 and 500 yards. 300 PRC, I haven't found the three that I've had just haven't been as accurate as far as the ultimate accuracy as far as how small those groups are, but they've all been very consistent with sub-half-minute groups. And the 30 Nosler, basically, as far as my experience with, has been like 300 Win Mag. I've got several sub-quarter minute groups. But if I compiled all the data, and I don't write this stuff down, so, I mean, people can do what they want with that information. A lot of people discount it just because I don't keep a logbook. But I do have a lot of target pictures or targets, laying down in my basement because I do a lot of paper shooting, and I do keep those. It is kind of hard to go back and look through it. But if I go back and look at all those targets or think back to all those groups that I've put on paper, those bigger cartridges just won't ag as small as I've only built one long-throated 300 WSM, and I've got my current second one being built, which is I think we're going to jump into here in a little bit. But the 300 WSM just consistently shoots smaller. Like, I don't know numbers, but let's just throw out 100 shots. If I threw 100 shots out of all three or all four of those cartridges that were talking about, the 30 Nosler, the 300 PRC, the 300 Win Mag, and the 300 WSM, the aggregate groups of that 300 WSM would be smaller. And I purposely started with unweight-sorted WSM or Winchester brass just so I could see how it did with that. I'm pretty confident it would do even better with a good brass like ADG or even weight sorting Winchester brass, or even going with a something that's really consistent like Norma or Nosler brass. Even though it might be a little bit softer, it's consistent. I think I could probably get even a little bit more accuracy out of it. But so that's what got me interested in trying it, is the fact that the Benchrest world obviously proves that it's more accurate. They used to do some shooting with the 300 Win Mag, and they found out it just couldn't shoot the aggregate groups that the 300 WSM would. So groups, consistent point of impact, or a smaller more consistent point of impact, that's really kind of hard to put into words, but more shots on exactly where you're wanting it is what I'm after. Now, that same rule that I kind of opened with, why the 300 WSM beats the 6mm when it's windy, is because of the BC and the bigger bullet, the better BC. That same logic would apply, in my opinion, and also the limited experience I have with shooting in really windy conditions. But the when you go up to something like a 30 Nosler, that'll push a 215 Berger roughly 100 to 150 foot per second faster than the WSM. It may not hold as tight a vertical over, say, 20 rounds, but it's probably going to do well. There's no probably about it. It's going to outperform the WSM in the wind. So those are things that you have to weigh.
I didn't hear what case did you say?
The two cases I was just comparing?
Yeah.
A 30 Nosler and a 300 WSM.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch them.
Basically, the more speed you push the bullet, the better it's going to be in the wind. If you're talking about the exact same bullet, it's going to have less wind drift. And that's the thing that most hunters, well, we might as well just be honest. It's every hunter. The thing that gets us the most is incorrect wind call. Mm-hmm. So there's trade-offs there. But anyways, I want to play with it for a couple years, see if the accuracy pays off. And that's what got me started on it.
That was actually a kind of a good intro you had there. The one thing I find funny, a few facts, and I guess to debunk a few things, is I did a bunch of research before we did this podcast, and it says there is no parent case to the 300 WSM, which I find hard to believe. Have you heard that before?
I've probably heard it around on the internet. I don't know that I would agree with that. It's basically, well, but me saying what I'm going to say in a second would throw some people off. You know, they'd throw the flag, but it's a 404 draft free with some changes.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. It's just a shortened 404 Jeffrey case. I believe the 404 Jeffrey, if I'm not mistaken, is not a rebated rim. Mm-hmm. I don't quote me on that. And the WSM cases are, the SOM cases are, the Nosler cases are. But I would call the 404 Jeffrey the parent case of all of those fat magnums.
I would agree. And if you look at like the 300 short action ultra mag, it says it's obviously from the 300 rum, which if you take a 300, you know, short action ultra mag and you put it next to a 300 WSM, aside from being a little shorter, they are damn near the same diameter.
Yes, they are. They're very, very, very similar. I, off the top of my head, I want to say, I can't remember what the SOM case capacity is. I think there's about 5 grains water difference between them.
Yeah, it's like 76 or 77 against 80 point something.
Yeah, it's right in that five, depending on what brand of brass and what, yeah, you know, the chamber is fired in and all that stuff.
So on that note, and in your opinion, obviously this is all kind of our opinions, but we do have opinions that come from, you know, I can't say like fact based, but you kind of notice things. Why would you choose a WSM over a short action ultra mag or vice versa?
So I guess that kind of plays into the whole topic of discussion in general anyways. Typically what I have found, and there's a window, I don't know if you can get it narrowed down exactly or how big that window is, but typically what I have found is a bullet generally prefers to run at a certain velocity, and there are nodes typically like a 215 Burger around 2900 foot per second, 3000 foot per second, and 3100 foot per second. Mm-hmm. Now there's a lot of things that affect that when you start talking. I mean, we could go way deep in the weeds here, but all those things that affect the accuracy of a round, like seating depth and powder charge and the burn rate of the powder, will affect that node. It will swing that node maybe plus or minus 25 foot per second. So there's a lot of overlapping that muddies the water. But I think if you put this on a bell curve, you would find nodes generally around 2900, 3000, and 3100 on a 215 Burger out of a 26-inch barrel. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, statistically speaking, you would have to bell curve that out. I've had rifles shoot at 2950. I've had them shoot at 3050. But so why would you pick a WSM, or why would you pick the short action ultra mag? Well, I know that a lot of people, and I say a lot, I believe a lot of it, and I know some of them very well, have had a lot of 300 Win Mags that push the 215 up to that 3,000 foot per second node. I've never owned one. All of mine are around that 2,900 foot per second node, and they take around 75 grains of H1000. Well, with the right powder, you can make a 300 WSM hit that 2900 node with, like, for instance, the one I'm running right now is a 68.6 grains reload of 26. So it's using 7 grains less powder to go to that same speed. And I have anecdotal evidence that it is more accurate over long shot strings. That's not really over more number of rounds. Gotcha. So why would I go with a 300 short action ultramag? The same reason. And I do believe I'll probably end up playing with one, but if you can take a 300 short action ultramag and push a 215 burger to that 2900 foot per second node with 2 grains less powder, it's probably going to be more consistently accurate than even the WSM. So I wouldn't personally suggest a guy do it right now because I don't personally have the data to back up the fact that it would or wouldn't get to 2900 foot per second. But if it'll do it, then I would actually say that's probably a better cartridge than the 300 WSM. The Benchrest guys are starting to play with that a lot more, and they're actually doing it in an improved version. So they're basically Ackley improving it, just blowing that. I think the SOM case uses a 30-degree shoulder versus the WSM's 35. But I think a lot of those guys are pushing the just Ackley improving it. I mean, straight out of Ackley's notes and playbook, they're just doing a 40-degree shoulder, gaining another grain of capacity, and hitting that higher node with the short action ultramag. And so that I'm clear with this, I'm just using the Benchrest guys' notes. I'm not copying exactly what they're doing because those guys generally run even slower velocities than we're talking about.
Yeah.
With faster powders, and that is even more accurate. But it's a trade-off. I'm not willing to lose another 100 foot per second just to get that little bit of extra. I know that kind of muddies the water because I'm already losing. I've already admitted that I'm willing to lose a little bit of foot per second by running the WSM over the nozzler, but I wouldn't go another 100 foot per second because then you start getting so far away from the cartridges like the 30 nozzler, 300 PRC that it's probably not worth it, in my opinion.
Gotcha. What do you think on debunking things? When the 300 WSM, I think it came out, I believe I read 2001-ish.
Yeah, it's about the time frame, yeah.
And its claim to fame was basically an 80.5, I think it is, 80.3, H2O capacity could run with a 300 Win Mag that I believe is like 93 something, water capacity. It could run with the same. What are your thoughts on that? It could run the same velocities with similar bullets.
Well, so when you talk specifically about the WSM and the 300 Win Mag, I just don't believe it for a second. Because they're two horribly designed SAMMY cartridges. Now that's going to offend a lot of people. The 300 Win Mag from SAMMY was designed to be 3.34 inches long. And when you put that into today's bullets, a 215 burger stuffed in the case like 250 thousandths more than it really needs to be.
Right.
And the WSM from SAMMY was the same exact thing. Well, it's even worse. So I have honestly never paid attention to the throat on a 300 WSM from SAMMY, but I believe the overall cartridge length from SAMMY was 2.850 inches. Don't quote me on that, but I believe it's 2.85 inches. And I've got mine throated out at 3.250 inches total overall length of the 215 burger. So you're talking about a lot of case capacity. And physics, I keep throwing this out to every time we have this discussion. Physics still wins. It's not going to outrun it. Now, that's kind of, again, blurring the line here and muddy the water, but it comes back to those nodes I was talking about. if you just ran a 300 Win Mag up to max pressure and you ran a 300 WSM up to max pressure, even with a 215 burger, the 300 Win Mag's going to outrun the WSM every time. It all comes back to where that accuracy note is. So, to answer your question is, I don't believe it for a second. Even with those, so like when you start comparing the 300 Win Mag and a 300 PRC, they can kind of cheat, in my opinion, because the 300 PRC was done better from Sammy.
Right.
So they'll take a 300 PRC with a 225 ELD that you can buy off the shelf, and they'll take a 300 Win Mag with like 150 grain 70-year-old bullet and try to compare them, and the PRC will win every time. But when you're talking about two horribly designed Sammy cartridges, the marketing's just not there. I don't know. And I really think that's kind of why it died. People realized that in factory form it just wasn't true. But it doesn't take away the fact that the WSM is a great case.
No, and Sammy's spec for the Win Mag is 3.34. Sammy's spec for the WSM is 2.860, which is totally handicapping them.
Yeah, both of them are handicapped. So they're about 300 Win Mags right at, well, I guess I was off on my math a second ago. They're both around 300 to 350 thousandths shorter than they need to be.
So if you take, let's take like a more arrow, you know, 300 PRC, which is a better overall cartridge design from Hornaday, and you compare it directly with a 300 WSM, but you don't handicap the 300 WSM. Say you put it in a long action or an XM action, and you load it with a 215 grain burger. What's that velocity difference going to look like if you're both running max performance?
So I would tell you that in theory, I would think the 300 PRC could go north of 3,000 foot per second with a 215 burger. And I know for a fact, I'm running my 300 WSM at 2940 foot per second. But I have not been able to get any of my three PRCs to run that 3,000 foot per second node. There's no accuracy there. It's really hard on brass. So I'm bumping them down. The two that I currently have in my possession are running 2920 foot per second.
Really?
And I mean, the brass will live probably, I mean, it's ADG brass. It'll probably go 10 plus reloads, but that's where the accuracy is. Those are just facts. If people don't believe it, they can call me up. We can make a range date, and we'll go out and shoot them. my WSM is ballistically identical to the two PRCs I've got.
You're the second person that's told me they can't. I believe the other one was shooting 225 ELDMs hand loads, and they had trouble with the faster up you know, north of 2950 having accuracy issues, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm on number three. The first one I ended up running, I played with tons of different bullets because it just was a pain in the butt, which I talked about in that article on Rockslide. I ran a 208, Hornady, a 225, a 212, a 215 burger, 230 burger. And the only one I could get to shoot that would meet my accuracy requirements was the 230 burger, and it was doing 2880, and that was on that was stepping on the red line.
Gotcha. So if we were comparing, like, a, let's say, a 300 Win Mag, which are we talking about what we just talked about, where you're running top performance, you know, non-Sammy spec, you know, are we talking 100 feet per second different with a 215 or 75, 50? What do you think?
I think the safe to say 80% of the time the window is going to be 50 to 100 foot per second difference between a WSM and a 300 Win Mag. I would say the window would be probably 75 to 150 foot per second between the WSM and the Nosler.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it could be a situation where you got a super fast WSM and a super slow nozzler. Like my last 30 nozzler, the accuracy node was at 3,000 foot per second. The one before that was 3,100. So there's some pretty big swings with the same chambers based, and there's hundreds of things that affect that. You know, the bore or the groove configuration, the groove depth, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Different barrel manufacturers. You know, Broughtons were always known to be super fast, and some of the other barrels out there are just consistently slow. So there's a lot of things that play in there, but mm-hmm. I think those numbers I just threw out are probably going to be true 80% of the time.
Do you think that some of the reason the 300 WSM has not fallen off but not gained the notoriety that I think it probably deserves because of really you only have Hornaday at the moment or Nosler or Norma Brass to choose from?
I think I'm actually glad you brought that up. Very glad you brought that up, because I don't think you can have the WSM discussion without talking about this exact topic. I think one of the issues is brass.
Right.
I feel like I've already proven that it doesn't matter. The one I'm shooting consistently shoots quarter inch groups, and I've got several groups in the zeros, which is that's the only magnum I've ever shot that'll shoot a group in the zeros. Period. There, I have not owned another
rifle
that will do that.
You're saying zeros, right?
Like the group, one of the groups was like a .076 or something.
That's
so
crazy.
Just outside to outside was just over 0.4 or just under 0.4 of an inch. Now I'm not implying that it'll do that every time, because it will not, and I cannot, especially shooting off of a bipod prone with a hunting rear rest.
Right.
Now that rifle might do it consistently if you put it in a real bench rest stock, but so the brass is an issue. I think if ADG came out with brass, I think it would gain some popularity. I think the biggest hindrance to the WSM, both the 300 WSM, the 7 WSM, the
6.5 WSM,
Psalms,
yeah.
The Psalm, yeah, all those. I think the biggest, and the 300 I think is more the case just because it needs more room with the bigger bullets, but there seems to be a mentality. So I've had quite a few WSMs, but only one 300. Well, when I say, I should say short mags. I've had WSMs, 7270 WSMs, 7 Psalms, a lot of those. But there seems to be, and they've all been on long action. I've built them on long action rifles. And every time you tell somebody that has no experience with that setup, they say the same thing. They ask the same question. Why would you build a long action and not fill the magazine box? Why would you not build a 300 Win Mag? Why would you not build a 300 PRC? Why would you not build a 7mm rim mag? Why would you not build a 28 Nosler? And I really think I answered that when we opened up here. Now, that's part of it. People don't understand why the heck you would build a short mag on a long action. And then the fact is, they're just neutered when you throw them in a 2.850 mag box or a 2.950 mag box. So they're being held back in a short mag, and a lot of guys just have some stigma.
You're breaking my heart here.
Yeah, they have a stigma about shooting that in a long action. But a long action magazine box, well, even the longer factories, like a 700 Rim Mag or 700 Remington, is 3.7 inches. And when you throw the 215 Burger out in a WSM where it needs to be, it's 3.2, let's call it 3.2. You only have a half inch. And I've never had a problem with them feeding. I haven't had to tweak the magazine boxes any more than I would on like a 7mm rim mag. In my opinion, when you're building a custom rifle, whether your gun builder does it or you do it, you're going to have to tweak the feed lips to get it to feed like I want my hunting rifles to feed. And I want it to feed flawlessly. If you need a follow-up shot, you can't afford to be stovepiping it or, you know, not ejecting the case, and then the second one comes in there, all those feeding issues. So they all need some kind of tweaking. I've not had a WSM require any more tweaking than any other cartridges. So I think that's probably the bigger reason why people don't want to build WSMs, is just because they don't want to neuter it in a short mag. And then when they talk about the actual fix, which is building it on a long action, they just can't wrap their head around why you would pick that cartridge.
You say that neutering it, because we're going to get into later what we're building. So I find that blatantly offensive.
Well, I'm actually hoping that your build will prove me wrong.
But going back, I do find, and I tried to tell people this, and I don't think people believe me, I've had more trouble with short action cartridges, meaning 6.5 PRC, 6.5 SOM. I built a 6.5 WSM. I've built a 300 short. I've had more trouble with feeding with short actions than I do with long actions with the short action magnums. What have you seen with that?
Same thing. It's hard to get the geometry. So it's a really fat, short case. It's hard to get the geometry right to feed that fat thing from a short action. And in my experience, the long actions haven't really had much problem. Like I said, you tweak the magazine box and you're good to go. My first 7 SOM was on a factory Remington 700 box, so a 2.805 2.850 box. I spit that out.
Gotcha.
And it fed fine, but generally speaking, they're just harder to deal with. But yeah, like you said, when we actually start talking about our builds here in a second, I'm hoping you prove me wrong and you can't really notice the difference between it, because it really is a great cartridge, and having a short action has several advantages. The shorter, especially for guys like you that like to chop your barrels down to nothing, that extra inch or so on the shorter action will help you keep your rifle set up shorter.
Well, you didn't give me a fucking choice. I kept trying to trick you into letting me have that long action.
Yeah,
so let's get into that. We are both long range only and Rockslide. Long range only, Ryan Furman is building a 300 short mag with the Vampire action from Bat Machine. Rockslide, me, I'm building a short action on their Bumblebee action 300 WSM. They're completely different rifles. Go on ahead and tell them about what you're going to build and what the components are.
So I already had this idea in my head before I even knew you were doing yours, but interested me even more once I figured out what you were building, because I think they're going to be a great comparison. Like you said, two different rifles. You're building yours on a short action and a shorter barrel, and I'll be doing mine with a 26-inch barrel on a long action. So the ultimate goal for my end was to get a happy medium on weight of the rifle, but still get some pretty good performance out of the cartridge. So that Vampire is a perfect action for what I'm trying to do. It's right in that 25-ounce range. It's got an integral rail. I've had problems with other rifles' rails staying attached, so that is key to what I was looking for, and Bat just came out with the perfect, what I think is the perfect action for what I'm trying to get at. Lightweight. Doesn't have the drawbacks that titanium may have, which is that sponginess in the material that could cause, you know, bolt click early on some of this stuff, which is a whole nother topic of discussion. But it really checks all the boxes. And then, like we've been talking about for the past 30 minutes, that WSM on a long action is a pretty good sweet spot, I think, for the shootability. So it doesn't have all the recoil of some of those bigger rifles, the torque of some of those bigger cartridges. Yet it'll push a 215 plenty fast to do what we need on elk out to 1,000 yards and probably a little bit farther. I'm also going to be putting that action into an Altera Arms carbon stock, which is going to come in somewhere probably around 25 ounces. So you got 25 ounce action, a 25 ounce stock, and then the barrel's probably going to be a little bit above 3 pounds. So you'll have a nice little lightweight package. I've definitely owned lighter rifles, but I found them a little less shootable. They're a little bit more difficult to control, and that becomes more apparent when you're shooting from weird positions. So this rifle should end up right around 7 pounds, maybe just shy of 7 pounds, and then I'll add a scope on it. So just taking what I have already learned from my first 300 WSM, throated the way I think it should be, and then putting it in a rifle package that I think is going to be pretty close to perfect for what I'm looking for. And then, like you said, we started talking about what you're building, and I think it's just going to be a great comparison between what I come up with and what you come up with, and we'll figure out what the velocities and ballistics look like in the end and how they compare.
Absolutely. Go through your total build deets. People love the details.
Yep. So the barrel, I don't know exactly. Daryl at Bat had a couple different barrels that he was interested in putting on there. So I think a Benchmark Carbon or an International Barrels, I think, was the other option. And I told him just to surprise me. So it'll be a 26-inch long carbon barrel. It's going to have one of Rock Slide's brakes on it. It's going to be chambered long throated for a 300 WSM. I just sent the dummy round off to Daryl. They're going to put a Bixen Andy Dakota trigger in it, and it's going to be sitting in a Altera Arms carbon stock, and then most likely we'll run Hawkins Picatinny rail rings with the level cap on it, and nice. Probably an NX8, Night Force NX8, first focal plane 8 or 4-32, one of my favorite scopes. So the total setup should be right around 9 pounds, which I found to be a very good overall weight for a Magnum cartridge shooting long range.
Are you going to run 215s in Norma brass, you're thinking, so far?
Rumor has it ADG's coming out with brass.
Rumor has it. I like rumors.
I don't have a ETA, but that's my hope. But I've got some Winchester brass, and I'll probably eventually get some Norma brass just to see if I can get it to be even more accurate with a more consistent brass.
Are you thinking running H1000-ish? Are you running?
I'm probably going to I'm going to start with Reloader 26 again. That's what I'm running in the one I've got now. I've done some temperature stability tests in it, and I'm finding about half a degree per foot per second, which is right in line with my H1000 testing I've done. If I do get the accuracy I want out of the new WSM, I will do some temperature stability testing in it, because it seems to be less consistent in its consistency, if that makes sense. There are a lot of guys out Absolutely. There that are reporting that it they see huge swings. So I will check it just because I don't have the trust in Reloader 26 that I do in H4831 and H1000. And we've done a lot of testing with N570 and mm-hmm. some with N565 as well, and they seem to be very stable. So I'll continue to test it, but so far I've found it to be very consistent.
I saw a thread today, and I can't remember where it was at because I'm only on two Foremans, long range only and Rockslide, but somebody was talking about they're shooting 208 grains out of a 300 WSM with Reloader 23, and their speeds were impressive if they were true.
Yeah, I talked to a couple buddies. Reloader 23 seems to be a little bit better, and actually it is according to Alliant, it is a temp stable powder. So people are seeing very good temp stability out of Reloader 23, it's giving a little bit better velocities than H1000. Not quite up to speed with Reloader 26, but it is. The Reloader 16 seems to be a little bit better than 4350, and the Reloader 23 seems to be a little bit better than H1000. It's really hard to say. I haven't been able to get my hands on either one of them just because of the current conditions in the market. And it's, you know, the powders I use, I have, you know, I probably have 30 pounds of Reloader 26. I probably have, well, when this deal started, I probably had the same of H1000, but that stuff, I burn about as much of that as I do gasoline in my truck. So
it's funny to me because really I've been doing most of my, I haven't been reloading at all. Jake from Unknown Munitions have, but I remember 2008 and 9, so I still have a shit ton.
Yeah.
Of stuff to load if I need to. And I find it funny that people consider themselves, you know, reloaders into shooting, into the long range game, and they're scrambling around. And I'm thinking to myself, and I don't want to sound like a dick, but I'm sounding like, don't you learn? Don't you learn from the previous, you know, 10 years ago, 15, 12 years ago when we had this problem before? You need to get ahead of the game when the getting's good. It cracks me up.
Yeah. Yeah, that 2008, I was sitting pretty good in 2008, but it made me start hoarding more. So basically, I would just start building my stash and try to, you know, as I depleted it, replaced it with a little bit more than I was using. Now, like with H1000, that's almost impossible for me because I burned so much of it.
Right.
But those other powders, I've acquired more than I shoot. But
here's a tech tip to the audience. You hoard when the getting's good.
That's right. Yeah. So you're not paying $200 a pound of powder.
Dude, I just seen 1,000 freaking 215 match primers for $700.
That's ridiculous. Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah,
the when I bought my, I bought 10,000 for $400 in 2012. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Anyways, the build that I'm going to run is I'm going to run the Bumblebee, which just is, it's just the short action bat that they came out with. It's the brother or sister to the Vampire. If you don't know about them, they're, you know, bats pretty cool and they're pretty ingenious. They came out with an aluminum action, has a steel insert where the barrel screws in and the bolt, you know, in the receiver where the bolt comes down. It's light. It's got an integrated rail. It's got an integrated, I'm losing my thought processor. It's got an integrated lug. Sorry. Thanks for answering me. It's light. I'm going to run a EH1 Manners carbon stock on it. It's got a 20-inch carbon 6 Sendero barrel. I'm running a 700, a Geissele Super 700 trigger. The rings will be Hawkins just like Ryan's. And I think I'm going to run, I was telling Jeff this yesterday, I think I'm going to run a 4-16 ATAC R on it.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm going to run. 30 ounces. I've had my trouble with the 2.5-20 NX8. People always diehard Night Forces. I've had issues with it locking up on me. So I'm going to go back to the ATAC R, which I really love. And I think it'll be a super good build. It'll have the TI Pro brake on it when it starts, but I think I'm going to have a 5-inch Thunder Beast out of prison soon that'll run on it in the end.
Yeah, so. Sounds like a pretty sweet setup. What's that? What is that 4-16 ATAC R weigh?
30 ounces.
It's 30? Yeah, that I'm running, well, actually on my 300 WSM I got right now, I'm playing with a 4-20 and it's 35 ounces. It's a pretty sweet scope.
Yeah, I was wondering when I came out, I did some digging and they built it for, it sounds like the reason they came, because I thought that was kind of an oddball size scope, and they built it for the Marines.
Yeah, it's, I love the scope. As far as, you know, heavier scopes go, it's, I think it's awesome. It's about the same size as, very similar to the 32 power NX8. Obviously, it's a little more Going to be a little more robust. It's got a 34 millimeter tube. The tube's a little bit thicker, and that's some of those features are why it weighs more. But I think it's going to be a pretty cool scope, and it might sit perfect into situations where you want to light a rifle, but you're not willing to sacrifice some of that durability.
Right.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see how yours performs in that. You'll be running a Wyatt's box in there. You'll have
3-inch,
close to 3 inches, yeah, and that 20-inch barrel.
I'm going to run 200s, 200 grain, yep. Those 200 by 20.
And you're probably going to sucker me into trying them just to see how much velocity there is between the two.
What I really want to try in that whole game is I'm going to try, well, I shouldn't say I. Jake on Nomunition is going to do all the load work up. I'm going to try 565, Vitaviori 565, 568, and 570, and see which one will give me the best velocity, best. I don't do the accuracy nodes near as much as Ryan. If I get a half inch, I'm fucking out the door and ready to go kill some shit. But I'm going to see Jake's a little more meticulous, which is good for me because he'll look at a half inch group kind of like you, Ryan, and go, eh, we can do better.
Yeah. Yeah, and the way I do most of my load development, I stay in the center of a node. So that's another topic for discussion in a different podcast, but I like to stay in the center of the node, you know, and they do come in and go out of tune. So, you know, if I'm shooting a quarter minute in the middle of the node, I'm pretty confident in the way I do my load development that it's going to stay under a half in the horrible, you know, the worst conditions that load will experience. So, it all works out. But I just did look up in my notes here. It is going to be a benchmark carbon or an international barrel.
I've never heard of the international
barrels. My rifle. Yeah, they're fairly. I shouldn't say that they're new, but they're fairly new to me. And I just told Daryl to surprise me. I'm sure whatever those guys are okay with is going to be plenty good for me. They obviously know what they're doing. I you know, one of the reasons we got on this podcast was to talk specifically about these builds. Bat's been around for quite a while now, but they're just not well known, or at least as well known in the hunting community as some of the others. I've had my hands on several of their actions, and they're sweet actions, but a lot of them have just been too heavy for what I wanted. And this Vampire, I really think, you know, it could be one of the best hunting actions you can get your hands on. Lightweight, integral rail, Bat's excellent reputation for accuracy, their ignition system, all that stuff works really good. So,
yeah,
excited to shoot it.
Yeah, it's funny how I did a podcast with Bat right after I did a podcast with you, and you can't throw a stick without hitting a bench rest record that's not owned by a Bat action.
Yeah,
and I've also owned, I had an LRKM with a Bat action. When Sean Defensive Edge first started building those LRKMs, they were with Bat actions. And people, if you think about a 338, I had a 338 Edge plus P. Running 109, 106, somewhere in there, grains of powder. It was still the most accurate rifle I've ever had. And yeah, accuracy has a lot to do with the barrel. But if you don't have a good receiver, it doesn't matter how great your barrel is if it's going in crooked. I just think that Bat has got their tolerances for, and it's hard to say this, but for straightness. They make one of the straightest, most tightest tolerance actions on the market, bar none. So I'm excited to give it a try.
Yeah, and one thing that a lot of hunters don't know, because they just don't care and don't do the research. And I'm not really saying that it matters a whole lot to most hunters. And matter of fact, it probably doesn't matter to most of them. But the ignition system plays a huge role in how accurate these things are. They need a nice consistent ignition. And there's a couple manufacturers out there that have that down, and you can tell because they're winning in bench rest. Bat's one of them. Borden's one of them. And they've all come and gone. Kelbley's has a lot of records throughout the history of Ventress. But
yeah,
those things matter.
Yeah, have you? And I never even heard this term until I was talking to Daryl about a captured firing pin. Have you heard that term?
Yeah, I don't know necessarily all of the differences in the ignition systems to speak probably as intelligently as, well, definitely not as intelligently as those guys. But yeah, they're not some of these newer actions may be a 700 footprint, but not all of them are 700 clones. And Bat's not really what I would consider a 700 clone. Their ignition system's completely different.
Yep.
Similar to actions like the Terminus, you know, Gunworks ignition system's a little bit different. So, like I said, I can't speak. You know, it is something I would like to sit down and chat with those guys about to have a better understanding. But they're not really 700 clones. Their ignition systems are different, and they're as great as the 700 is or was or whatever when it came out. It's not the perfect solution.
No, and if you talk to them, it's the captured thing. The best way that I can, and don't quote me on this, but basically, if you take just a regular 700 action and you look at the firing pin, there's no real guidance to actually strike the primer. It's actually just there's a hole and there's a pin behind it, and most of the time the freaking firing pin goes in the same place. Where you take a bat, the wall thickness of where that hole is captures that pin, so it strikes the same place every time on the primer, so you get the same lock time and the same exact place shot in and shot out, which I find is interesting. It's interesting to me because those are the little things I'm sure bench rest or F-class guys already know, but for me, just being the, you know, the dumb long range hunter, I find that very interesting. And they use a different, you know, and you can change out their trigger hanger to get a better sear engagement, which I find pretty badass.
Yeah, that's a big sticking point for me. I can't stand poorly timed actions. And just changing the trigger hanger position's not always the best way. There's always going to be some give and take if the action itself's not set up correctly. But it is nice to be able to tweak that. You know, there's a few actions out there that are using hanger setups like the Kelbley has for a long time. Bat does. I know there's quite a few more that's just not coming to me right out of the, you know, right off the top of my head, but it can be beneficial. But I do think that they get them set up from the get-go in the first place, so you don't really need to tweak a lot of that anyways.
Yeah, and you're a big primary. I'm not near the primary extraction guy that you are, but if you ever look at a bat, it's damn near flawless.
Yeah, I just can't stand going to close a bolt, like on a follow-up shot for an animal, or I don't hunt with a round chambered, so I get set up, you know, I find an animal at 700-800 yards, I get set up, I get the crosshairs on it, I get my reticle dialed, the turret dialed, and then I chamber around. I can't stand it. I know it's not a big deal, really, but I can't stand it when I chamber around and I go to close the bolt and it upsets my rifle, and the crosshairs move and I gotta start all over again. It drives me insane. It doesn't need to be that way. I've got several actions that aren't that way, and I just can't stand it anymore when you get one that's not timed correctly.
All right. We were only going to go 20 minutes and we're at like 54, but I had one question that somebody asked me this morning that I thought I'd run by you. So you got back to the 300 WSM, you have Hornady brass, you have Nosler brass, and rumor has it, which I'm pretty sure is going to happen, you have ADG brass coming to the market. Do you see much velocity difference between those three that would make enough difference to absolutely run the ADG brass, which is probably going to be a little bit, you know, harder than the 300 WSM brass?
So from just a overall achievable velocity versus pressure, it's a I mean, the fact is, the stronger the brass is, the better it's going to withstand pressure. Some of the ADG brass actually does, when compared to other brass inside the same cartridge, some of it is smaller. In the case of the 30 Nosler, it's actually larger. But in the ones where it is smaller, 300 Win Mag, for instance, is, I think, around 93 grains case capacity for ADG, and it's around 95 for Norma. So they'll both go the same speed. The ADG will be running higher pressure, but because it's stronger brass, it typically will last longer than the Norma or Nosler, even though it's at higher pressure. Now, that is one thing that people have to consider. When they're doing this, a lot of guys will just think that because their brass is better, they can get away with cranking up the pressure to not safe speeds. I don't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. It doesn't make a lot of sense. If I don't care if a cartridge brass can handle 80,000 PSI, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to be running that high. Especially in hunting conditions where a piece of grass could get in there, or water could get in there, and you could end up missing a shot because of it, or having extraction issues where you can't get your brass out for a follow-up shot. But I think they're probably going to all do, like when this, the 300WSM, when we start comparing the different brass availability, I think they're all probably going to do the same. Speeds. The biggest thing is going to be, I'm already getting really good. Well, I get not great ES, but acceptable ES with crappy Winchester brass that may have an internal capacity difference of up to a grain of water from the high to the low. Mm-hmm. It's only going to get better when you get consistent brass like Norma or ADG. And my preference is going to be, I can tell you from the experience with other ADG brass, it's going to be the ADG just because it's consistent like Norma but stronger. So it will handle more pressure.
Gotcha. No, I think that I would concur with all that. And I totally forgot about the 300WSM Winchester brass.
Yeah, that's what I'm running. It's horrible. I've got, I think I've got 300 pieces of it, and just the weight of the brass, which I've had brass manufacturers tell me that this can't be used as a comparison, and I have to disagree. I've counted thousands of pieces of brass, and it holds true every time. When the brass weighs more, the capacity is always relatively light. When the brass weighs more, the capacity is less, and the gotcha. It's a what term? What am I looking for? My brain's not working. I think I still need some more coffee.
Brian's working nights.
It's linear. It's a linear function. So as the brass goes up,
the thicker, brass weight less goes capacity.
Up. The weight. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That they've told me that it's not necessarily true because some of that is in the web area and it doesn't necessarily eat capacity, but I've just not found that to be true on paper. Every piece of brass I've checked, the weight and the internal capacity using water has come out exactly like I would expect it to do.
Right.
So.
And then last, I told you that was last, but I lied to you. The other thing that you nailed, and I didn't really think about it till you had said it, but I had the last one I had, last 300WSM I had was a Tika. And I remember I'd shot it probably 400 and mid 450-ish times. And I measured the throat from the about 100 rounds. And the throat had only grown like 6 thousandths, which if you watch and you look at a 300WS or 300 PRC, 300 Norma, or 30 Nosler, 300 Norma, 300 Rum, you're going to have significantly more growth than that. So I think you can get a longer accuracy node, as you would say, as far as throat, length with these short mags, 300 short mags over a bigger cartridge. And I think that's just, would you say physics, or what would you say about it, that?
Yeah, so that's a whole other subject, but exactly to speak about what you just said, with a cartridge that has less throat erosion per shot, it's going to stay in tune longer, typically, in my experience. So we're talking about two kind of separate things, and we're kind of blurring them here. It will stay in tune longer. So like, let's just say with my 300W SIM, I load up 68.6 range reload, or 26 at 25 thousandths off the lands, I think is what my note is, or it might be 20 thousandths off the lands. That exact load will stay in tune for a longer number of shots, 100 shots, 150 shots, 200 shots. I haven't found it yet where it's come out of tune. That's different than a tune from day to day based on conditions. So that's really kind of a hard subject to tackle, to articulate. But in relationship to what you just said, yeah, it will stay in tune. You'll have to tweak the load less with a WSM, generally speaking, than a 30 Nosler. Eric Cortina actually has a really good article out there about I think it's titled "Stop Chasing Your Lands" or "Don't Chase Your Lands."
It's a YouTube video. I think I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I agree with him. Obviously, I mean he's a world renowned shooter. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I agree with everything he says. But it's hard to refute a lot of his stuff when he's winning competitions. But I agree with him. You can't just say when the rifle's brand new, and let's just say you find the load at 20 rounds, you're really good at load development, you find a load at 20 rounds, you can't just follow the lands. As the throat erodes 10 thousandths, you can't just move the bullet 10 thousandths, because the configuration of the throat has changed. It's rougher. It didn't just move. It's not like you took a reamer and reamed it 10 thousandths farther. It changed the entire configuration. So you got to tweak the load. And his method is, it may be a little bit more difficult for a hunter, but I think he said when he starts to lose tune, he'll just take several different seating depths out and play with them. But so that's a good. I think it's a good video to actually kind of help with what we're talking about. But like you said, with the less throat erosion, typically that cartridge will stay, or that load will stay in tune longer. So. Like let's try. I'll try one more way to make that, break that down for people. Like in a 30 Nosler, I would never load up 100 rounds of a accuracy load for a 30 Nosler, because by the time you get to 75 or 80 or 90, it's probably not going to shoot to my standards again. You may have to tweak the powder charge a little bit or the seating depth. Whereas a WSM is probably going to shoot, if you load it up 100 rounds, it'll probably shoot those all accurately.
You noters.
Yeah, I wish I could just go shoot like you and not be bothered by the details, the minutia.
Like getting into that stuff, it's... And I'm not arguing with your way at all. Your way is your way, and I don't dispute anybody's way of getting the problem solved. It's just when I see dicking around with stuff, once I get a half-inch group, I guess I'm not a good enough shooter past 1,000 yards to notice. So that's where I'm like, I take a .3 or a .2, or I take a half-incher. They're all about the same in the end for me. My shooting ability. So it's not a knock against anybody out there. It's just the way I do it.
Yeah, it's really hard to see what I'm talking about if you don't shoot a lot of paper. Shooting steel or shooting rocks really isn't going to show you, because you hit your target and ultimately that's what you're trying to do when you're shooting game. Oh, in the perfect world, trust me, in the perfect world, if I can hunt every single day, if I could hunt every continent, Africa, New Zealand, South America, hunt North America every single day of the year, I would buy a Gunworks rifle, and I would buy their ammo, and I would just go hunt. But here in Kansas, I get bored, so I go tinker with loads in different rifles.
And you're an engineer, and enough said about that. Yeah. But
yeah,
obviously the way you're doing it produces good results. If you go over to long range only and see what you guys are doing. You're obviously, you're doing it right. So.
Yeah, we try. I mean, like I said, there's several ways to skin the cat, but I just like tinker. And, you know, honestly, some of the reason why we do it's just to help others get to that point quicker so that they don't have to waste their money like we waste our money.
Oh, I agree with that. But you said something that I had never thought about before we even really got down the road with 300 WSM, because I had noticed that, and I do shoot a lot and I write stuff down a lot, but I'm not like, I guess, copious in the actual numbers that come back to me. But I noticed that my throat wasn't growing with the 300 WSM. And when you said that, it clicked in my brain. I'm like, huh, well, that would make sense. And that would make sense why I could shoot a lot longer without having issues. And I mean, I guess I'm simple because I didn't really put that together until you said that on the phone.
Yeah, it's definitely noticeable. So it is something to consider, especially for guys that don't like to tinker. It's more there. I don't think there really is truly for what I want. There's really no set it and forget it setup. It's physics just won't allow it. As the barrel wears, you're probably going to make some changes to maintain what you were seeing at 100 rounds. But it's more set it and forget it than the bigger cartridges. And that goes, the more you increase the capacity of the case or within a given bore size, the more you increase the case capacity, the more it's going to wear and the quicker it's going to come out of tune. Obviously, as you increase the bore size, you can throw more powder down it without having those kinds of effects. But within a given bore size, that's going to hold true.
All right. Last thing. Have you seen that new Trekker from Graybo?
I have.
What do you think?
And I don't think it's for me. I kind of like the concept, but I think I don't know what the engineering limitations are to carbon and carbon frames, but I don't like the fact that it has no real part of the stock to ride a bag.
Yeah.
I think it would be, like I said, I don't know the engineering limitations to it, but I would like to see a hole cut out of that rear and have something to ride the bag for the rear. But for guys that are taking outfan shots and just want lightweight, it's probably going to suit them very well.
Dude, they had me when I could put my Fruity Pebbles in the back. They had me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like carry Fruity Pebbles with you.
Exactly. I mean, I don't see it for the long range guy. I see this as designed for the sheep hunter. And
yeah.
But it's interesting design. I always like to see people moving stuff forward, and I think that definitely changes the stock game. I think people will look at that and find new ways to lighten them up.
Yeah, there are definitely people that stock will suit very well. Like I said, I would like to. I know there's a lot of dead weight in that rear that the butt stocks of all of our rifles, but I would like to see more of like a skeleton that still has a spot to, you know, from the grip to the toe is still intact so that we can ride a bag.
Exactly. Well, dude, I don't want to keep you all night. Ryan's a writer and contributor to longrangeonly.com. Go check out their YouTube channel. Is there anything else, any place else you want to steer people to?
Well, like I said last time, all my content goes to Long Range Only. So if you want to get a hold of me, the best place is going to be on longrangeonly.com. If you just want to follow our material, we put a lot of stuff on Instagram. It's all shared over to Facebook. So you can follow our content on Instagram if you want to get in contact with me. Longrangeonly.com is the best place. If you're not a member on there, go ahead and sign up. It's quick, it's free, it's easy. Lots of good information. And, you know, it's not just Jeff and I, but we have a bunch of great members that are, you know, a lot of them have a lot of experience and a lot of new guys just wanting to learn. So I think you'll fit in very well, no matter what your experience level is and where you're at and how long you've been doing it.
So.
Yep. You guys, your slogan is "You do long range right," and I would have to agree with that.
Yep. We try. I mean, that it's know your limits. We don't really do ethic discussions, but the end goal is to make sure we know where our bullets are going and take the shot when it's the confidence is high, and not take it when it's not. So that's what that slogan is about, and we try to live by it.
All right, well, thanks for coming on. We'll have to come back December time after we've got some blood on these rifles and tell the tales.
Yep, get some data, get some dead animals, and we'll reconvene on the topic.
All right,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on again, Ryan.